Our passage today is found in Psalm 23. Remain standing as we hear the words of the Lord. Psalm 23, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. I'll say it again. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Now, Father, I pray that as we dive into your word, that you would tune our ear to your voice so that we might hear you. Turn our hearts toward you that we might experience all that you have for us. Father, it's to that end that I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. Have your way in this place today. In Jesus' name. Every heart said amen. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This is week 5 for us as a church family. And as we talk about, as we'll talk about in our discoveries coming up on March 4th, and for discovery, that's whoever wants to come. If you're interested in knowing more about our church, that's our road to membership. That's our road to assimilation. That's our road to finding out our mission and vision and who we are and what we're about. On Sunday morning, we just don't have time to unpack all of those things. So this discovery will be an opportunity for you to come, especially if the Lord is laying on your heart and speaking to you, saying, this is a place where I would love to join and be a part of the family of God. Or if you say, this is a place where I just love to serve, I just would love to know more about this place. So March 4th is discovery. There you'll find out our core value, at the very center of our core value, is the gospel. We believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and out of the gospel flows our ability to have this fellowship with God, fellowship with the family of God, and fellowship with the world. In our sermon series, I've been talking about week after week, fellowship with God, where I've been painting picture after picture of what fellowship with God looks like, how that's lived out. How do we practically live this out in our day-to-day lives? And today, I'll start a two-part series in the midst of our overall series on Psalm 23, where I'll begin to talk about how fellowship with God, and through this fellowship with God, we receive restoration. Restoration. So this week I'll go through verses 1 through 3, hopefully, if I can make it, of Psalm 23. And then next week I'll complete verses 3 through 6. Amen? All right, so to begin this series, Fellowship with God on Restoration, all I need from you, I need y'all to give me the first 3 words of this psalm. I just need the first 3. I'm going to start with the first 3 words of this psalm, and we'll go from there. So the first 3 words of this psalm are... I love it. The Lord is. I got to let that hang there just for a little bit. See, because if you move past that too quickly, you'll miss it. Because if you don't embrace this very, the very essence of this text is right here and found in these first 3 words. If we run past this, you may miss the whole thing. So we're going to pause here just for a little bit. The Lord is. He is. You can hit rewind, go all the way back to the beginning of time and see the Lord is. You can hit fast forward and go all the way to the end of time and see the Lord is. He is. The Lord is. He is that which was, that which is, and that which is to come. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is all that we could ever need, ever want, ever desire, ever long for. The Lord is everything we need, everything we could ever want, everything we could ever hope for, everything we could desire. The Lord is. He is the source. He is the center. He is the core of all things. Everything that was created came from him. The Lord is. All by himself. He don't need your help. The Lord is. one of the biggest implications of this concept, one of the biggest implications of these first three words, the Lord is this. Here it is. If the Lord is, that means you ain't. Oh, yeah, that's a big deal because some of you are confused about it. Some of you are not sure. If the Lord is, that means you ain't. Some of us in our lives, we think we're the center. We think we're the core. We're sitting on the throne of our lives and we're making decisions, making demands, making requests, and choosing different options. And it's not our option because the Lord is, and that means you ain't. Do me a favor. Y'all need some help with this one. Do me a favor. Turn to the person sitting beside you, and that's the neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. Turn. That means you're no longer looking at me. Turn to them. Look at them and say, neighbor. Say it just in case they sleeping off the donuts. Say, neighbor. You ain't. Amen. Some of y'all been waiting 15 years to say that. That's 15. Waiting a long time. You got it in. See, it's important to realize who's the center, who's the source, and who's the Lord of our lives. The Lord is. He is all you could ever desire. He is. All you could ever long for. He is. All that you'll ever need. He is. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. The Lord is. He is. I think I'm ready for the next word now. The Lord is mine. I love it. You can take personal ownership of it. He's not some God out in the cosmos somewhere, but this God who is big and omniscient, he's also immanent. And I can also know him in his bigness, and as big as he is, he can still dwell within the confines of my heart. The Lord is my. He knows me, and I can be known by him, and I can know him. We can have a relationship. We can walk together, talk together, live together. The Lord is my. I can know him intimately, in intimacy, into me, see into me. The Lord is my. He is one who can see all that I am and all that I know. Have I lost you yet? The Lord is my. It's personal. He's just not some God that's out there floating around, but all that he is all that within me. Did you get that? That's big. That's good. I'm going to say that again. All that he is all of that within me. So no, I'm not all that, but my God is all that, and all that he is within me, so that means I'm all that. Did you get that? Tweet that. How about that? All that he is all that within me. The Lord is my, I'm ready for the next word now, shepherd. I love it because David puts a qualifier on there. He puts a job description. He gives us a picture of what this relationship looks like, because if we left it blank, we could say the Lord is my sugar mama. Or the Lord is my slot machine. Or the Lord is my genie in a bottle. Shout out to Christina Aguilera. It's not, but the Lord ain't none of that. The Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd. See, shepherd, it gives a dynamic to the relationship, because every relationship has a dynamic, right? My wife, we've been married for almost 10 years. Our relationship, it has a dynamic to it. She tells me what to do, and I do it. That's the dynamic of our relationship. Amen? All the brothers in the house say amen. Amen, amen. If you ain't figured that out, then you need to be married another 2 weeks. You don't take long to learn that lesson. That's the dynamic. So shepherd paints a picture of the dynamic of this relationship. The Lord is the shepherd. Now, what do shepherds do? Shepherds take care of the sheep. They provide for the sheep. They watch over the sheep. They protect the sheep. They anticipate the needs of the sheep. They watch over the sheep. When the sheep are lost, they go after the sheep and bring the sheep back home. That's what the shepherd does. Well, now, if you're anything like me, you're already doing the theological deductive reasoning, and you realize, well, if the Lord is the shepherd, that means we the sheep. And a quick Wikipedia show of sheep will reveal that sheep, how do I say this? Sheep aren't known for being the brightest bulb in the box. Are y'all with me in here this morning? Sheep are what? Are dumb. Some would say even stupid. Sheep are dumb or stupid. Well, now, okay, so now if the Lord is my shepherd, and he the shepherd, and we the sheep, did the Bible just call us dumb? answer to that question is what? Yes. Because every now and then you need to be reminded, we need to be reminded that we're the dumb ones in this relationship. We're the ones that are ignorant. We don't know all. We don't see all. We're not providing all. We're not in control of all. We need to be reminded that he's the shepherd and we're the sheep and we're the ignorant ones in this relationship, because you know how we do. We will walk around like we're running something. We'll make decisions in our life like we run. You ever had anybody, y'all know, when they come around, they always act like they're running stuff, but they ain't really running nothing. Y'all know, they come to your house and they just running all in the kitchen. You be like, will you get somewhere and sit down? This ain't your house. You know, they moving stuff around. They just act like they the boss of everything and everybody. That's us sometimes. We walk around acting like we're running our lives, acting like we're in control, making decisions without prayer, just making decisions. And the shepherd has already anticipates our needs, so he already knows what's coming, but we don't know. And here we are just making decisions, just doing stuff on our own. Sometimes I wonder if God is peering over the balcony of heaven saying, I wish y'all sit down. You ain't controlling nothing. I know Jesus would probably have better English, but it all depends on who he's talking to, though. The Lord is my shepherd. And that immediately lets me know that if the Lord is, I ain't. And if he's the shepherd, that means I'm the sheep and I'm the dumb one in the relationship. When I mean dumb, that's not to make us insecure, but that's to help you to realize we just don't know what the shepherd knows. And we've got to act like we don't know what the shepherd knows. Because there ain't nothing worse than a bunch of sheep trying to act like shepherds. You want to talk about a funny sight? Sheep getting over bad. I'm sick of this shepherd taking us all around. We're going to go off on our own little trail. It never happens. Because as soon as two of them get together, they ain't gonna be able to figure out what trail to take, because they're dumb. That's us. The Lord is. And all that he is all that within us. He is my shepherd. He's the one that knows. He's the one that controls. He's the one that provides. He's the one that longs for. He's the one that finds us when we're lost. So therefore, because of who he is and who I am to who he is, I shall not want. It's this beautiful picture. Now, if you're anything like me, when you say that, you immediately have a theological conflict. Because in my life, there's still a whole lot of things I want. I want more closet space because my wife's shoes takes up over half. There's still things that I want. I want a Range Rover because they look really good, but I hear they got bad gas mileage. So I want a Range Rover with a gas card. That's what I want. You know what I mean? That somebody else pays for, you know? We got all kinds of wants. And here in this passage, he says, well, if the Lord is my shepherd, then you shall not want. And then you hear passages like, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And if you're not careful, you will immediately assume that that means if I just love the Lord and if I just delight myself in the Lord, he'll just give me whatever I want. And some of us, our prayer life is like that because we just expect the Lord to give us whatever we want. Well, you know, we're too carnal for that. We're too carnal for that kind of relationship because we'll want somebody else's job, even if it means them getting fired. We'll be praying, Lord, well, if they lose their job, I sure like to have it. What? You're supposed to be praying that they keep their job, man. What's wrong with you? Well, see, we're carnal. We'll just ask for anything. We'll pray for someone else's wife. Pray for someone. Oh, don't look at me funny. Come on now. You'll see that beautiful family. Oh, look at him. He's such a good husband. Lord, I wish I had a husband like that. You got a husband, lady. What you doing praying over this man, this woman's husband for? Stop looking at Jim and deal with Henry. That's who you came with, and you're going home with Henry. So you need to be praying for Henry. Leave Jim and Lisa alone. Hello in the room, somebody. Oh, come on. Don't be, you know how you spiritually fantasize doing worship. Oh, come on now. Don't y'all be, how great is our God? Oh, see, look at the Lord is my shepherd. And he says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he doesn't give you what you want, But he says, I will give you the desires of your heart. I will give you what to desire. I will give you the desires of your heart. I will teach you what to desire, and your desires will become my desires, and my desires will become your desires, and you will want what I want. I will give you a thirst and a hunger for righteousness. That's what he's saying. You ain't got sense enough to know what you want because you're the dumb sheep, remember? So I'm going to teach you what to want. I'm going to give you godly desires. So therefore, because of who God is in my life, I shall not want anything outside of the shepherd's provision for my life. And he's teaching me what to desire. So, Albert, what do I do with my wants? What do I do with my bucket list? What do I do with my desires? We do the same thing Jesus did. It's okay for you to have desires. It's okay for you to have wants. It's okay for there to be things for you to want. That's fine. But what did Jesus do? Some would argue that Jesus, his weakest moment was on the cross. I theologically push back and say Jesus' weakest moment, from my perspective, is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because we see Jesus negotiating a deal. You may not want to see it like this, but I'm telling you, you see Jesus is like, now Lord, if there was ever a plan B up in heaven somewhere, like if y'all got together and strategized the just in case scenario, now would be a good time to pull it out. Because he's like, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup what? Pass. Lord, if it be thy will, if there's any other option, if there's any other way out, Lord, now's a good time to show me that good old-fashioned exit strategy. But what does he say after that? He says, listen to this, nevertheless. I've got some desires and I've got some preferences because right now what you're calling me to do is really difficult and really challenging and really hard. However, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So we take our wants, we take our desires, and we lay them at the feet of the shepherd, and we say, God, here's our desire for our children. Here's our wants for our family. Here's what we desire. Here's what we hope for. Here's what we long for. But we lay them at your feet, Jesus, and we say, nevertheless. And nevertheless, it's not just semantics. It's just not you adding some words on the end of your prayer. You say nevertheless, not with your mouth, but with your heart. Because you've got to be willing to let go of your desires. You've got to be willing to let go of your will. And with your heart, you've got to be willing to say, God, I really want to be married by a certain age. I really wanted kids by now, but not my will, nevertheless, and I let it go. Because the shepherd, he's already anticipated your needs. He knows your biological clock and the track that it's on and when the battery's going to go out and what time it's on. He knows all that stuff. So you don't have to keep reminding him. He says, nevertheless. Nevertheless simply means I let it go. Because many times we'll pray to God and we'll say, Lord, this is what I want, but I lay it at your feet. Amen. Let's go to church. Let's go. All right, here we go to worship. Lord, here I am to worship. Lord, I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. Give me my keys. All right, let's go home. And you're just walking, carrying around. It's funny, but some of you have been carrying stuff for 20 years. Some of you, you've been carrying stuff for 15 years. Some of you, in marriage counseling, you made up, you kissed, you worked it out, and everything's when you said everything is okay, but you're still carrying it. How do you know you're still carrying it? Because when you get in crisis and when you get in trouble, when you get upset, you pull it out. And I'm thinking, how did you get to it so fast? You just got that right. That was just right there. You didn't even have to go find it. It was right there. Because I've been holding it. Anybody holding stuff? Got any wants today? Are you willing to say, not just with your mouth, but with your heart and with your hands, nevertheless, I let it go and I trust the shepherd because the Lord is. The Alpha and the Omega. He knows how it began and he knows how it's going to end. So I trust the one that knows the final score already and I rest and wait in him. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want anything outside of the shepherd's provision. Are y'all with me this morning? See, so here's the deal. This has huge implications for some of you, because some of you are in relationships that had been provided for by the shepherd. Hello, somebody. You've been dating him for 6 weeks now. Lord, I never heard of him before. You ain't talked to the Lord about him. And then when he started acting crazy, then all of a sudden you come invading heaven, coming to the throne of God. All spiritual, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bring this relationship to you now, Father. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, hey, how you doing? Because I ain't talked to you in a long time. Welcome back. Where you been? It's like, well, Father, I'm back, and I want you to pray for Jimmy. But I was like, well, wait a minute now. Who's Jimmy? Oh, I got a boyfriend. Oh, you got a boyfriend. I didn't know nothing about that. Hello, somebody. So you're trying to bring God in on a deal that he ain't been a part of. And you asking him now to bless your mess. Hello in the room. Hello, somebody. That's what we do. We've got to surrender everything that hasn't been approved, co-signed, provided for by the shepherd. And if the shepherd ain't providing it, then I ain't wanting it. Do you hear that? You got to get there. That's got to get real. I need to move on to my next point, but I feel like I got to stay here for somebody sitting in the back section over here to the left. If the shepherd ain't providing it, then you need to stop wanting it. Because some of you, you're still wanting something that the Lord has already said no, but you keep bringing it back every 6 weeks like he has amnesia. And you're not hurting God, but you're hurting yourself, because you're delaying the beauty of the real blessing that he has for you, because you can't let go of the old stuff so you can receive the new stuff that God has for you in your life. Well, I'm talking to somebody this morning who's holding on the old stuff. At 9 o'clock, I had already moved on to the next point by now. But somebody came here holding on the old stuff, and I'm telling you, the shepherd, he's a good shepherd. And you can trust him. And when you let it go, he's got something better, but you'll never experience the greatness of the blessing of God holding on to your old stuff. Turn around and tell three people, let it go. All right, here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. Next point, he makes me lie down. Oh, God, why you gotta make me lie down? We just can't ease into this thing, you know? He says, no, I'm gonna make you lie down. Why? Because he knows how we are. And we'll get so caught up into doing, and going that we'll miss the essence of who he is and who he's called us to be. Because as Christians, he didn't call us to do Christianity. He called us to be Christians. We're not human doings. We're human beings. And he says, I love you enough to, if I have to make you lie down, I'll make you lie down and stop all the stuff you're doing so you can know what it's like to be before me. He says, I'll make you lie. It's the story of a camel. Camel, when it travels a long way, you know, they take the camel and they put the burden and all the baggage on the back of the camel. And the camel will do these long journeys throughout the desert. Well, when the camel gets to his destination, the rider will have a hard time getting the camel to get down, because the camel's been standing for so long. His knees are so locked together. The rider gets twigs and literally has to whack and whack and whack at the legs of the camel, even to the point to where the skin is broken on the camel and there's blood streaming down. The camel is still struggling to go down on his knees, and it's whack after whack after whack. And then finally the camel will fall down on his knees, and it's when the camel will get down on his knees, then the rider can roll the burdens away off of the back of the camel. You get it early, you won't have to preach as long. Sometimes God, Spirit of the living God, is having to whack away at us and whack and whack shocked because we're so used to standing in our own strength. And we are carrying burdens and we're carrying weight and we're carrying baggage. And we've been carrying it for so long and we've just learned to pray to get stronger and, Lord, help me to hold on. Well, what if the Lord don't want you to hold on? What if he wants you to let go? What if he doesn't want you to be stronger? He wants you to be weaker. Albert, I'm struggling with that. Let me help you. Come here, Paul. Paul was no weakling of a man. Paul was a strong dude. As a matter of fact, Paul was powerful. Paul would get beat up in the city, and he would take a licking and keep on ticking, and he'd be like, on to the next city. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. People think Paul was a great preacher. Paul wasn't a great preacher. Matter of fact, Paul was a pretty boring preacher. He was so boring. One time it was this dude listening to Paul preach, sitting in the window. The dude fell asleep, fell out the window, broke his neck, and died. Now that's boring. That's a boring sermon right there. You know what I'm saying? You dead, dog? It was that boring? He was like, yeah, it was that boring. Check this out. Paul wasn't a good preacher, but he was powerful. He was so powerful, he went downstairs, raised the man from the dead, and said, come on back upstairs. I got two more points and a point. Paul was powerful. But what happened to Paul? You remember? He went to the Lord because he had this thorn in his flesh. And he said, Lord, if it be thy will, take this thorn away from me. If it be thy will, remove this thorn. And we see Paul in a state that we never see Paul in. He's literally begging God because it's too hard for him. But God says, no, my grace is sufficient. Paul comes back a second time. He didn't give up. He kept coming. Lord, Lord, please remove this thorn. God says, my grace is sufficient. Paul comes back a third time. He's literally begging God, take it away. God says, no. My grace is sufficient. And then Paul says, I got it. It's in my weakness that his strength is made perfect in my life. So I learned to take joy in my thorn. I learned to take joy in my weakness because it's only when I'm weak can he be strong in our life. Friend, the message today isn't for you to go home and be stronger. The message today is for you to go home and be weak. The message today isn't for you to go and hold on. The message today is for you to go and let go. And this is real hard, especially for men, because we're Mr. Fix-It men. We come in and we fix stuff. Something wrong, we fix it. You know, baby, honey, I was working today and I just got so thirsty. I was like, all right, baby, let me go get you some water. I don't want water. I want to sit and talk about my thirst. What? I can just go get the water and we can be done and I can finish the game. Honey, I just want to talk about my day, how I found myself thirsty at 3 o'clock. But you don't want water? See, because that's what we do. We fix it. See, we take on this hero syndrome where we feel like we're Superman and we fail to remember that even Superman had kryptonite. God is saying we have to be weak before him, because when you're weak, then we can experience his strength. So he says, he makes me lie down. He brings me to this place of brokenness. But listen, where does he make us lie down? What does he say? He says, in green pastures. Not a barren land, not a desert, not a dry place, but he makes us lie down in green, place of fruitfulness, place of nourishment, a place where you provided for. He makes me lie down in a place where he's going to provide for me. So I'm broken, but I'm provided for.
Oh, that was good.
Because some of you need to know that when God breaks you, he provides for you. And then watch this. He says, he leads me beside the still waters. Why? Why? Because sheep are scared of running water. It's too loud. Dumb. So he leads them beside the still waters because these still waters run deep. And in the shh in the silence, and God will bring us to the still waters, because our lives many times can be so loud. The stress of the job can be so loud. The money can be so loud. The relationship can be so loud. The addiction can be so loud. The relationship, the struggle, the stress, the children, the insecurities, it can be so loud. So he brings our life down. He turns the volume of our life down so that we might hear his voice. The problem isn't that God isn't speaking. The problem is that your life is so loud you can't hear what he's calling you to. So he'll turn your life down. Turn the stress down from the job. You can't sleep at night because you're so worried. Turn it down. And in the stillness and in the quietness, as he turns your life down in this quiet place, when we be still and know that he is God, it is here where he will, here it is, restore us. He says, he restores my soul. How did we get here? We were broken. We were still. And we were silent. And in the stillness, God begins to restore. See, the problem that you can't experience the restoration and the renewal of God, you haven't been still yet. Or your life is so loud, you haven't allowed the quietness of the Spirit of God to silence all the distractions of the world so you might hear God. You'll never get the vision and the direction on your marriage that's in trouble until you turn the selfishness and the ego down. You'll never understand your teenage kid until you turn your ego down and your entitlement down and you humble yourself and in the stillness, he'll begin to restore your soul. I'll close with this. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. Y'all heard that before? Let's put our theological lens on and let's walk this through the grid here. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. That's your first problem, Humpty. You sit in a chair, not a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Well, we saw that coming. He was too big for the wall. Here's the catcher, though. All the king's horses and all the king's men, all the king's horses and all the king's men, all the king's horses and all the king's men. Ever wonder why didn't he just call the king? Why? In crisis, you're broken. Why are you messing around with the king's horses and the king's men? Why don't you just call the king? The Lord is my shepherd. And when he breaks me, when he breaks me down, don't call the king's horses. Don't call the king's men. Call the king. Because the king took you apart so he can put you back together again. And what the Lord puts together, it'll withstand the fiery test that will come to tempt you. You've got to let the Lord do the breaking, so the Lord can do the restoring. See, some of us, we want the Lord to restore, but we don't want him to break. And it's his prerogative what he chooses to break. You can't tell him what area to break. Because you know us. We'd be like, hey, Lord, just break this part here. Ting. Oh, I'm so broken. No. He's not after that. He's after the core. He says, can you allow me to break you? And I'll put your pieces back together and I will restore you. Some of you are broken today. Some of you, you've been resisting the breaking. You've been feeling the whacking and you've been feeling it and you've been resisting, trying to be strong, trying to hold it together. I encourage you, surrender to the king. Because the king wants to put you back together again. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And it'll flow out of your restoration. But your restoration flows out of your brokenness. And your brokenness flows out of your surrender. And your surrender flows out of the reality that the Lord is and you ain't. every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I pray that you would do the breaking this day. Areas in our life where we're too strong, we're too independent, there's too much control, we're doing things our own way. God, I pray that with the grace of your Holy Spirit, drenched in love, that you will begin to break every area in our lives. God, we take all of our wants, all of our desires, and we lay them at your feet. Some of us, God, there are things that we've been wanting for a long time. Some of them, there are things that we've held on to for a long time, but we let it go. We lay them at your feet, and we pray the prayer of Jesus, nevertheless. God, I have dreams. God, I have desires. God, I have wants. But nevertheless, I want your desires for me greater than I want my desires for me. And Father, I pray that as I delight myself in you and as we have fellowship one with another, that your desires will become my desires and my desires will become your desires. And I will know what it's like to walk in sweet fellowship with you. But in order for that to happen, God, we know that it means brokenness and weakness. And like Paul, may we find joy in weakness. Because it's only in our weakness is your strength made perfect in our lives. Father, may your strength be made perfect in my life today. Make your strength perfect in our lives today. Father, as we come to the table, take the broken body and the precious shed blood. Father, you said, do this in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember that it is through the cross, through the blood, through your resurrection, through that power that we now can receive restoration. So, God, as we remember, you restore. As we remember, God, you restore in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. When you're ready, come, partake of the broken body, precious shed blood, dip it in the juice, take, eat in remembrance of him. And as we remember, allow him to restore in your life. Come to the table.